Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
It's my pleasure this morning to introduce to you our speaker for today, Reverend Othniel Perez. Reverend Othniel Perez has a vision to train and send cross-cultural workers from Latin America, especially Cuba, to restricted access nations. So this, listen carefully. He trains them to send them where we cannot go because they've come out of oppression and places where they know how to be subtle and wise and how to navigate in restricted access nations. His ministry focus is to work alongside the Cuban churches, where he now has trained 27 approved candidates for missionary work. He works with 15 Dominican Republic churches to develop mission programs. He teaches, translates, interprets from English to Spanish for the Light of the Nations program to equip leaders cross-culturally. Reverend Othniel Perez has been in the PAOC for over 30 years and ordained with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, such as I. It is an interesting paradigm here because I know his father very well, grew up at Agent Court. Well, I was at Agent Court Pentecostal Church pastoring, and his father was very involved with my lead pastor then, Reverend Stuart Mulligan, so I got to know his pastor very well. And yet, this is the first time that he and I have actually shared a ministry moment. And his father passed last year. His father pioneered the Spanish work across Canada. We have many Spanish congregants, Latin Americans in our congregation. Yes? Where are the Latin Americans? There you go. And they're not on the drum right now, but we have many. And I think it's so honoring for you to be here as we are such a mixed congregation, but you bring so much to the table. And we welcome you to this pulpit. Glad to be working with you for this first time. Your father would be pleased. God bless you.
I am honored. Hello, PPC. Good morning. How are you? How are you really? Awesome. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be with family. Amen? We are a diverse family. And I start by sharing a family picture because reference being made to my father. And my father passed away. He graduated into eternity December 2nd, just a few months ago, 3 months and a few days. I miss him dearly. He was a mighty man of God. He was a wonderful father. Today, I'm not going to talk very much about what I do. Pastor has mentioned some of the things we're involved with. I am going to talk a little bit more about, who I am so we get to know each other. Is that all right? And part of who I am now, because, we are being transformed from glory to glory, right? Are you being transformed from glory to glory? Are you in a journey? Have you been on ups and have you been on downs? Have you been through the woods? Have you experienced the pools in the woods? Yes? My art is here. So I mentioned that. There's some family pictures coming up. So we're talking about family. That's my father in his very favorite place. At 804 Broadview, right across the Broadview subway station. That man was faithful. That man was solid for the Cubans or the Latinos, como el morro de La Habana. Solid. In Havana, if you've ever been to Havana, my home city, it's an amazing city. There are more songs that have been inspired by the city of Havana than any other city of the world. Go check it out, all right? Trust me, do it. I have over, I don't know how many hours of songs in the span of 50, 60 years, like ancient from the 20s to Havana, na-na. You know that one, right? A lot of music, a lot of beautiful people in Cuba, and a needy and very unique country. My dad was born there, and we're going to talk about thriving. You probably saw the title there flash before the picture, the family picture. That's my family there. You see my wife, Liz. I'm married for a long time. It seems like only yesterday. I have three wonderful, beautiful daughters. I thank God for women like Pastor Marie, because my daughters, I thought they would be married very quickly, very fast. But finally, last October, we married my middle daughter, Jessie, and I inherited instantly a son, finally. His name is Braden, and he's a wonderful young man, and I love him, and I think he loves me too. And there in the middle is my mom and my dad sitting in their favorite place at 804 Broadview. I tell you, we're going to talk about thriving Jesus way. And so if you're doing the math, you know that I've just lost my dad 3 months ago, and I inherited my mom in the month of November. So for 4 months till last week, my mom has been living in my house. I don't know if anybody in the sandwich generation relate to that with me. Yeah. But you know, we're not in Cuba anymore. In Cuba, I grew up in a family where it was my mom and my dad. You saw them, my brother Abel. We were just two boys. And we had my grandmother, my aunt. And then we also had an itinerant evangelist that came with the church when we moved in, and it was Cuba. It was a house church. So when my dad and my mom came to pastor, I was a year old. The church, the house church, came with an itinerant evangelist, and so she was part of the family. She'd be going everywhere, but she'd come back and she'd be right in. So family was broad, but we're not in Cuba anymore. And so having my mom in our home after so many years away has been an incredible gift and an incredible tool of God working in my heart and teaching me things. But God is good. And I brought three pieces of art because Pastor said, they're not arty. They're not artsy people here. They don't get it. I don't get it. I wanted to, share and see the art with me and so forth. But if I stand still, maybe you can see it. I'm going to tell you a story about one. But we're going to talk about thriving. And I was going to ask you, which of the paintings speak to you? And these are my paintings. In the last 5 years plus, I've been doing more art. It's been wonderful. It's been healing. It's been a spiritual practice for me. And I believe God is calling me to use art to reach out to other artists and to people with mental health and issues and stress and just show them how the Spirit of God, the creative Spirit of God, can work and connect with their soul and with their heart. This is one. I don't know if, and I want, which one speaks thriving to you, I don't know. All right, there's one. I'm going to tell you the story of one. I don't know if this speaks to you of thriving. What is that? Yeah, you can come later.
We'll help.
You want to hold it? Okay, fantastic. Let me tell you the story about this.
I didn't get it.
This is how God's been doing art with me. So I painted this picture last year, November 30th, it's a Saturday. I was speaking Sunday at a church in Mississauga, Sunday, December 1st. So Saturday, I was in my zone with Jesus, breathing the sermon, the message, and painting in preparation because I wanted to paint this. I wasn't going to talk about the paintings. They were just the background to my slides. But I was working with the Spirit, painting and preparing my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I have a whole series, how to cultivate a life that shares Jesus. All right? So I painted this picture, and it's a heart in my style, abstract impressionist, All right? And there's like a turmoil of water down here, turmoil of water. And there's like a new day dawning over here. This is the one I'm talking about right here. Yeah. So I preach on December 1st. I'm done. Go visit with my dad in the hospital. Thank you. We go back. There's good. We go back home Sunday night. My mom is frail. She is battling with dementia, Alzheimer's, middle stages. So energy is low. So we plan to go back to the hospital on Tuesday, and she would rest on Monday. But Monday at 8 p.m., we get a call, and my dad has breathed his last breath. So we all jump in the car. We drive back to Mississauga, to the hospital there, and say goodbye and bring that closure. We know his body was at rest. We know his spirit was more alive than ever and entering heaven. So we drove back. It was a late night on Monday night. Coming back home, I went to bed. I slept. I was woken up by the sunshine coming through the window. I guess I get up before the sun reaches me by my pillow. So it was not a usual experience. And I was just enjoying waking up to the warmth of, you know, the sunshine, December 3rd in Waterloo, coming through my window, my bedroom window. You know, in split seconds, I'm coming into the reality of this day, and I'm going, wow, my dad is no longer in this world. And my mind went, I wonder what his first morning in heaven is like. And, you know, I'm a theologian just like you, a Bible student just like you. There are many things that we think about heaven. There's no time. You know, there's no need for the sun. He's the light. But from my end, I was just saying, I just love when I get to somewhere, when I travel to a new city, I usually get there in the evening. Like tonight, I'm on my way to San Jose, Costa Rica. And, you know, I'll get there and it'll be dark. But I love to get up before the sun. And I love to walk the streets and pray the streets and see the light and see the life beginning, revealing what's in that place. And so I imagine, wow, what would that first morning in heaven be like for my dad? Later that afternoon, I did not make the connection. Later this afternoon, the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, remember, I was in a sad moment. And the Holy Spirit nudged me, remember on Saturday what we painted together. The hope, the trust, the faith of an eternal life, of a full life in heaven forever, secure because of what Jesus has done. Amen? And that's what that painting like this does to me. And I pray that God will use it for his purpose and his kingdom. But we're going to talk about thriving. And I'm going to ask you, what is thriving to you? You know, I don't know what kind of pictures come to your mind when you think thriving. You know what? I love that next Sunday you're going to get a word that's going to help people understand, women understand, men understand, that whether you're single or whether you are married, you can thrive in Christ. And I tell you, I share my hearts because I believe that thriving begins in the heart. All right, a lot of the pictures and the thoughts and the ideas that we have of thriving are external, are usually kind of drawn by a comparison. Oh, look what he has. I don't have that. Oh, look what she's doing. Oh, I wish I could do that. And so it's very external. It's very material. It's very success-oriented according to, and we in this service prayed that. I heard Pastor pray about the scales. The scales that are weighing your values, your priorities, where you are casting and investing your life. Whoa, look out for those scales. It begins with a value system. And so our thoughts, our contemporary perspectives on success are about comfort. You know, a four-day work week. You know, a remote work where I work 1 hour and got that. You know, hello, people. Work is not from the devil. Work is from the Lord. Work has to do with purpose. Work is God's way of making you shine in the world, giving back to the world, being the light and the salt wherever you are. Amen? So we need, maybe I've come here just to challenge us today about thinking about success. Now, and success about personal achievement. You know, and Pastor would agree, and she's honored the thought and the person of my dad. I stand on the shoulders of my dad. I come from a legacy. I'm just a branch, you know, in the family. You have been also, your story is being attached and incorporated here in PPC as a family, as a story, a mega story that God is writing in Pickering. Amen. And you are part of that. You bring you into that. And God takes all of us and you and in my family and in your family, we are a legacy. There are some that have come before. I could speak here about my grandmother, about my aunt, about my dad. Wow, that was so important for me in bringing up strong, faithful and God-filled daughters. I kept reminding them, hey, you're not just whoever you think you are. Yeah, you are you. You are unique. God, you're God's first and entrusted to me second. But let me tell you, you are part of something that God's been working for a long time. And you got to see what you're going to do with it. So I stand here today challenging us about what we think thriving is. There's a biblical perspective. And there are three words in the Bible that speak about thriving. And so there are three words. Salash. That's a Hebrew word. And it signifies prospering or succeeding. So it is. Thriving has a prosperity concept aspect to it, a succeeding aspect to it. It conveys a sense of advancing, of advancement. Thriving is advancing. Often is associated with divine favor. And so this we get from the story of Joseph in Egypt in Genesis 39. But there's another Hebrew word, parash. And it means to sprout. It means to bloom. It's used in contexts like Isaiah 35, where it says that the desert is described as rejoicing and blossoming. Right? It's like something that's not supposed to happen, something that is insignificant, something that is abnormal, a desert blooming, a desert flourishing. Amen? So these are the ideas that are tied in Scripture with this concept of thriving. And then in the New Testament, we have a Greek word, which is analatho. All right? Analatho means, it's used to convey the idea of thriving, flourishing again. It combines ana, meaning again, and up. And it combines it with thalog, which means to sprout or to bloom. And this is used in one of the places used is in Philippians 4. And Paul himself describes how a visit and a word and a letter kind of revived him. It replenished him so he could continue to thrive. So I take you, and this is amazing because it's been already said today, the purpose of Jesus coming. Can you read it out loud with me? John 10:10. The thief's purpose, let's read it together. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Amen? This is the purpose of Jesus coming. This is why he came. But there is a thief. There is a liar. There is a deceiver. And you need to know the difference. And so I hope that today I'm going to give you snapshots in the time that we have. Really snapshots of key events in the life of Jesus that may help us to uncover what true thriving is all about, all right? Because how many of you want to thrive Jesus' way? Amen? Amen. We want to thrive. We want to thrive Jesus' way because we know many stories, and I could take time to tell you stories of people that seem to be thriving, that seem to be at the top, but they were empty. There are people that climb high and they get great achievements, and at the end they fall. But there's a promise in Scripture that the life of the righteous is like the light of the day, rising up till the day is perfect. Amen. When you are in Christ, you have the guarantee that He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So no matter how you are feeling or where you find yourself today, you can know that by abiding in Christ, you can receive His thriving power. Amen? Amen. So I could take you to many events of Jesus, and I think that we're not even going to go through this, all the snapshots that I thought we could look at today. But the first snapshot is Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth. This is a monumental moment. This is Jesus going to his hometown where he was known. And they give him the role. They give him the privilege, the honor to read on that day. And I tell you, it's not a Bible and it was not a phone where you could just key in. No, it was a scroll. So I have no idea how how they unscrolled to that specific spot, but he declares his purpose to come to set the captives free. And you know, and he declares that, and all the town people are celebrating the beautiful promise of God from Isaiah. And then he sits, he says, today this has been fulfilled. And he begins to comment on the scripture. The message does not go well. The message goes south. The people don't like the words, don't like the sermon, the exegesis, the hermeneutic that Jesus is applying to that verse. And what do these good people of the synagogue of Nazareth do? They want to kill him. They want to drive him off a cliff. Does that look like thriving to you? If someone's running after you, wanting to kill you, wanting to throw you over a hill, but it doesn't happen. But Jesus, in this synagogue, he faces the rejection, outward rejection. And it's not just like indifference. No, it's hostile opposition. They want to harm him, but he remains committed to his mission. And he illustrates how important it is to be steadfast on the word, because Jesus thrives in God's word. And it's not only here, but even in the next snapshot that I want to show you, the next snapshot is about Jesus goes from being baptized and the Father expressing his deep pleasure in him. And let me tell you, when you abide in Jesus, that deep pleasure that the Father pours on Jesus, saying, this is my begotten, beloved Son, I am pleased in him. I want you to this day understand that if you are abiding in Jesus, the Father sees you in Jesus. So you, sir, you, ma'am, you elderly person, you elderly woman, you are his child. You're still his child. Before God, I'm no reverend, I'm no missionary, I'm no pastor. Before God, I'm his child. And he is well pleased as long as I'm abiding in Christ. He's smiling big over his children. And his purpose is for you to thrive, for you to move in his plan. But you need to abide and you need to trust. And so Jesus shows his examples of thriving even through the trials with Satan. And beware, Satan used God's word, trying to deceive Jesus using half-truths. But Jesus was standing on the word, and he was able with the word counteract every attack of Satan and defeat the attack of the enemy. And let me tell you, in the transfiguration, we also see Jesus being affirmed. All right, just like he was affirmed in his moment of baptism. But in the midst of this glorious moment, the people, the disciples, the three beloved that are around him, we know that at the moment that they began to suggest, hey, we're gonna institutionalize this place. You know, we're gonna shrine this thing, we're gonna have a promotion, we're gonna have some gatekeepers, and wow, we got glory here. We're gonna dispense glory now. Boom. The picture went black, and they came down the hill. And you know that as they come down the hill, oh, there's division in the camp among the 12, among his people, the one that have just witnessed Jesus transformed, transfigurated into his glory. And they've seen the prophets and the law together honoring Jesus, like a visual demonstration of what this is all about. And they don't get it. They're still thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be at the right. I want to be the ministry of exterior affairs. I'm going to be and they're jostling for position, and they're jostling for place, because they're looking for an opportunity to get ahead, to get up, to stop being from the oppression under the Romans, to now be in power with Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But their heart was still being transformed. You follow? The other picture is Gethsemane. Jesus in Gethsemane. You know, Jesus thrives in God's word. Jesus thrives through the trials by the word. Jesus thrives with the divine affirmation of his Father all along. But we get to Gethsemane, and this is a crucial moment. This is Jesus. This is the Christ. He has been set apart from before time, before creation, for this moment. But he's fully human. And he is the epitome of the new humanity that you and I are being transformed into. Fully human, fully God, and he's fully human, and he's praying wrong. He's not praying what he knows he's supposed to be praying. I mean, I could have think of many, many prayers, high articulate prayers in Gethsemane, but Jesus is saying, I don't like this cup. Father, find another way. Is there another way? And he doesn't pray it once. He prays it three times. So Jesus experienced deep, overwhelming sorrow, rejection, abandonment. But yet he was thriving. Thriving. Why was he thriving? How do you define thriving? Because he was on purpose, because he was on a mission, because he was fulfilling his task. Stop looking around and comparing yourself. Stop following on social media this guy or that guy. Watch out for for wolves in sheep clothing that are trying to sell you another gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no thriving life that doesn't look like a cross. And I finished with this. I looked on the sheet, and I'm 3 minutes over where I'm supposed to end, but I'm going to end with this. There's a powerful verse, and there's a powerful, teaching of Jesus, and is that, unless the grain of wheat falls and dies, there's no life. And so I don't know if what you, the picture that you think thriving looks like for you, young person, for you, mom, for you, dad, for you, people online, what do you think thriving would look like for you? I say begin with your heart. Look inside. What has God put there? Listen to the Spirit's voice. Align with the will of the Father, with the will of your loving, beloved Father who has all the resources, who has all that you need to complete and accomplish that purpose. But there's got to be a dying. There's got to be a falling. There's got to be a surrendering so that the purpose can flourish. So, Father, I thank you for PPC. I thank you for this awesome congregation. I believe, God, that you are about to do something special, something powerful in people's lives, in families, in this city, and through this church. And we just declare that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And every opportunity we have, we will share Jesus. We will point to Jesus. We will represent Jesus, Lord, and we will reveal the beauty of Jesus everywhere we go as we thrive, each of us, in our assignments, in our platforms, in our areas. Be blessed, people of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.